Chapter 20. How about that? Do you know what it says, Allie? They'll be priests of God and will reign with Him 1,000 years. And we are looking at what the millennium is like. I mean, there is a future for us. And the future is a kingdom. Are you getting anything out of this? Are you understanding a little better what it's going to be like in the kingdom of Jesus Christ? You should have figured out by now that it's primarily what? Jewish. That Israel is a prominent nation in it. And we're going to try to finish up either today or maybe next week, but pretty quickly, so we can go to verse 7. Verse 7's great. But I want to give you some more attributes of this kingdom that I think are really exciting. And the first one is that Jesus will rule with the omniscience, omnipotence, and the character of God. Do you know what omniscience is? The capacity, the ability to understand, to know what? Everything. And omnipotence would be what? All the power to do something about it. And finally, with the very character of God. And in Isaiah 11, it says this. Speaking of a root of Jesse, or the righteous branch, is the way the chapter starts in verse 1. Speaking of Jesus Christ, He's considered to be the root of Jesse. In other words, He comes forth from the ancestors of David himself. Because He has to be able to sit on the throne that was promised to David. And it says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on Him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and strength, the Spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. 7, if you'll notice, I put the numbers behind that to help you count. Why did I do that? Because in Revelation chapter 1, verse 4, it talks about the sevenfold Spirit of God. This is the sevenfold Spirit of God. And what does we know about Him? Well, first of all, it's the Spirit of the Lord. The Holy Spirit rests on Him. Secondly, we know that it is the Spirit of wisdom. What is wisdom? The ability to take God's principles and apply them to a situation, and understanding, the true ability to understand what's going on. The Spirit of counsel and strength. Counsel would be what's the right thing to do. Strength would be what is the most powerful thing to do? The Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. Amazing. This is a description of Jesus Christ. Now, why do those come into play? Because the Scripture says, and He will delight in the fear of the Lord, and He will not judge by what His eyes sees, nor make a decision by what His ears hear. But with righteousness He will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. How many of you watched the O.J. Simpson trial? And how many months did it go on? And how about the gal in Florida? And the Andrea Yates trial? How long do you think the trials will last if Jesus Christ is overseeing them? Next. Pronouncement next. Why? I make a living as an expert in cases, testifying and so forth, and investigating. I'm a forensic accountant and so forth. And it's always amazing to me. I had this trial that was between a company in Taiwan and a company here in Texas. And that trial took 6 weeks. And even when you get through with the trial, do you think the juries have a good handle on what's going on? It's too long. They forgot. They've been asleep. They lost interest. Just for your edification, if one side is perceived as lying, they lose. But those trials go on for weeks and months and so forth. And the reality is, in all of this that's disclosed to the jury, no one really knows what the actual truth is. Did you know that? Have you ever been in a trial? How many of you ever been in a jury before? A whole bunch of you. Did you feel that way when you got through, that you really didn't know what the truth was? I remember one time I was on a jury. It was from a young man who had hit somebody, a police officer, assaulting a police officer. And it was a one-day kind of a justice of peace trial. And when we got through, we thought he was guilty. So we gave it to him. We gave him all we could. But we really didn't know what had happened because he said one thing and the police officer said another. And it's really hard to fight through the truth of what's going on sometimes if you're a juror. A lot of times the concepts are too complicated, particularly in a damage area, for a jury to grasp and so forth. And they make decisions based on how they what? Feel. Boy, is that a good way. Yeah, same way Americans vote. Thank you, Patty. It's true. Well, I love that line in Tom Cruise and Jack Nicholson and A Few Good Men. You remember that? You can't handle the truth. And I don't think we get it most of the time from our government. The reality is, though, when Jesus Christ is reigning and ruling, he is going to be judging based on what? Not what he sees or hears, but what? The truth. And how long does it take for him to analyze motives and what they did and so forth to render a decision? Isn't that amazing? Can you imagine what you'll feel like if you're accused and you have to go before the Lord Jesus Christ and you know you're guilty? There's not going to be any way to escape, is there? And so the scripture says that he'll not judge by what his eyes see nor make a decision but what his ears hear. But with righteousness, he will judge the poor and decide with fairness for the afflicted of the earth. In other words, he's going to lean a certain way according to that, right? The right way. He's going to lean for the truth, but he's also going to favor who? What does it say? The poor and who? The afflicted. And then notice what it says, and he'll strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. When he speaks, when he makes a proclamation, we've had this 5-minute trial. And he says, this is what your motive was, and this is what you did, and this is exactly what happened. How do you plead? And then he pronounces a judgment, which is the rod of his mouth, and the breath of his lips, he will slay the wicked. Also, righteousness will be belt about his loins, and faithfulness the belt about his waist. Yes, Jimmy. He's not going to take the side of the rich, in other words, to the exclusion of the poor, which is consistent with what happens today in a lot of trials. Did you know that? Why is that? Because the rich can afford what? Really good lawyers. All right? But notice his righteousness will be the belt about his loins and faithfulness the belt about his waist. How many of you have ever served in the military? I'd be interested. The military, yeah. You were in, weren't you? The Navy? Yeah. The first 10 days I was in the Army at Fort Polk, Louisiana, I didn't like it. In fact, I didn't like it when I got out. But I was in the airborne. And we were so concerned about not doing anything wrong that would bring the wrath of the drill sergeant or the jump sergeant upon us. Did you think we behaved properly? Absolutely. I want you to think about something. In the area of crime, during the time of the kingdom when Jesus is king and he has the omnipotence and the omniscience and so forth, what will be the attitude of the people when they think about committing a crime? If I'm going to do it, if I do it, I'm going to what? Going to be punished. The scripture says when discipline is delayed, the sinners will do gross sin. That's a paraphrase. But the reality is that when Jesus is ruling and reigning, the entire world will know that as he is judged. Now, I happen to think we may be involved in some of that too. In other words, in some of that judging. But we will at that time totally have the mind of Christ. That we will have the ability, I don't know that we'll be omniscient or omnipotent, but we'll have the ability to see through things. We'll see how that happens. Now, Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. What does that mean? Harsh? Harsh. So that if you do wrong, punished. So there's a direct correlation between your sin and your consequence, right? if you live now and you sin, and God doesn't strike you dead, right? You're okay to keep it up. But during this time, he's going to rule. So any type of rebellion or those who are going to go against him are going to be struck down immediately. The scripture says in Psalm 2, one of my favorite psalms, you shall break them with a rod of iron. You shall shatter them like earthenware. Now therefore, O kings, show discernment. Dummy up. Show discernment. Take warning, O judges of the earth. Worship the Lord with reverence and rejoice with trembling. Do homage to the Son, that he not become angry and you perish in the way, for his wrath may soon be kindled. How blessed are all who take refuge in him. Is this a different picture of Jesus Christ from the one you get in the New Testament? Absolutely. Why? What's different? In the New Testament, he was a Savior. In the millennium, he's what? He's King. By the way, is there a benefit to the king keeping absolute control over its society so that there's not a lot of rampant crime and so forth? What's the benefit? Thank you. So good for you to be here, Robin. I mean, that's a good answer. No rampant crime, right? Very little crime, I suspect. If you have crime that results in a consequence that's immediate or quickly, it tends to keep the crime down. So Revelation 12 says this, and she gave birth to a son, speaking of Israel, a male child who is Jesus, who is to rule the nations with a rod of iron, and our child was caught up to God and to his throne. So Jesus will rule with a rod of iron. The third aspect is that Jesus will proclaim the law from Jerusalem. Right now, where do we get our laws in America? From Congress. And I know you have incredible faith in the laws that you get from Congress, right? What laws we've been getting for Congress are, at best, totally incomprehensible. Right? You cannot understand what's being communicated. The setup of this Consumer Protection Agency and all of these new laws that we've had in the last few years are literally beyond comprehension. I can't tell you in our firm, as CPAs, how our fees are going to skyrocket on the basis of the new laws that are coming into effect in 2014. My partner walked in the other day and she said, do you know what this client's taxes are going to go up next year just based on the change in the law January 1? And I said, no. And she said, $86,000. So they're so complicated you can't hardly figure them out. But in Jesus' case, when he proclaims a law, I suspect it's going to be very straightforward and understandable. The scripture says you will not need a United Nations, World Congress, or World Court. Jesus is it. And the scripture says in Isaiah 2, for the law will go forth from Zion and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. So when there is something proclaimed on TV that Jesus has said, everyone will hear it. And I suspect everyone will say, that's a good law. That's right. That's fair. That's just. And it says, and he will judge between the nations and will render decisions for many peoples. How would you like to have him involved right now in the United States, Iran, Syria, Russia conflict to render a decision about who's right, who's wrong, or the chemical weapons, and the ability or omnipotence to have something to do about it? Rather than all this diplomatic stuff, which is probably not going anywhere. Isaiah 51 says this, pay attention to me, O my people, and give ear to me, O my nation, for a law will go forth from me, and I will set my justice for a light of the peoples. My righteousness is near, my salvation is gone forth, and my arms will judge the peoples. The wet coastlands will wait for me, and for my arm they will wait expectantly. Isn't that incredible? Right now, nobody wants to hear from Jesus, right? Except believers. But in the coming future kingdom, the coastlands of the isles are going to wait expectantly for him to rule on some piece of law. Do you know where the coastlands of the isles are? It's America. Australia. South America. Anywhere outside of the mainland which is Europe, Asia, and Africa. So the coastlands of the isles will what? Wait expectantly for him to hear what he has to say. He will rule in righteousness and with justice. Behold, a king will reign righteously and princes will rule justly. Now, that's where I think maybe we come into play, is we might be some of these princesses ruling. Remember, because the scripture says we will what, Ollie? Rule and reign with him for 1,000 years. So we may be ruling and making decisions and judgments and so forth during this time. The scripture says in Isaiah chapter 9, I love this, there will be no increase of his government or of peace on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. So when he rules, what are we going to experience? Justice, righteousness. Righteousness just simply means to be right. And it's going to last for a long time. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. And then in Isaiah 42, behold my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom my soul delights. By the way, the servant is Jesus Christ. I put my spirit upon him who will bring forth justice to the nations. He will not rise out, cry out, or raise his voice, nor make his voice heard in the street. A bruised reed he will not break, and a dimly burning wick he will not extinguish. He will faithfully bring forth justice. Isn't that interesting? Do you know how many wars we've had in the world in the last 100 years or several hundred years? I mean, there's something like 50 to 100 wars going on at any one time. The reason is somebody who will, in fact, render a judgment between the nations and decide arguments between nations. For example, if Jesus Christ was today, he could solve the problem of us versus Iran and their nuclear weapon. I suspect they would no longer have a nuclear weapon. I suspect we wouldn't have a nuclear weapon. I suspect nobody would have a nuclear weapon. But he would render a decision over that and who was responsible. He will not be disheartened or crushed until he has established justice in the earth and the coastlands, notice the coastlands again, will wait expectantly, what? For his law. So over here we're saying, what has Jesus said? Had you turned on TV yet? What has Jesus proclaimed regarding this circumstance with this nation? Now remember, during a millennial time, there are people on the earth, many people on the earth, and there are still nations on the earth, and there will still be conflicts between nations. As the sin nature will still be present. In fact, a lot of people ask, why is God going to have a kingdom on this earth, which in fact, the people, mortals, live in it, and they continue to sin in spite of the fact that Jesus Christ is sitting on the throne in a perfect kingdom? Can you answer that one? I believe, and that's I believe, that means it's opinion, that the purpose of the millennium is to demonstrate to the world that the sin nature predominates in spite of God Himself being present. Did you know that? Yes, Jimmy? Do what? Uh-huh. All right. Yeah. The reality is, how many times have you heard argued in the media that if we just had more education, if we just had more benefits for those who don't have, if we could just do this or that and make the environment better, we would get rid of our problems. Have you heard that before? What is Jesus going to demonstrate? In a perfect environment, sin is still a problem. And he's still the answer. I really believe that's why he's going to do it. Because the scripture says that he's going to make all his enemies his footstool until he delivers up to God, even death. And that's at the end, which is verse 7, by the way. Any questions? Yes, Prologue. Does the sin nature exist in everybody? Does it exist in you? I know it does, but I mean, yes, it does, right? In the millennium time, yes. The answer is yes. If you are born of a woman and a man, you have a sin nature. Did you know that? Any of you rebel at that thought? How do we know that you have a sin nature? Because you sin. Think back to when you were three. Mommy, I didn't take that cookie. Huh? Teenager, do this. Not going to do it. Yes, Randy. Okay, all right. Let me answer that. You need an interpreter, Prologue. Yeah. The answer is that everybody who is immortal, their sin nature is gone. That's how we're going to make it through eternity, is we'll not have a sin nature. Adam didn't have a sin nature till he what? Sin. Scripture says that from Adam, all have a sin nature and die. Romans chapter 5. Death is an evidence of what? You have a sin nature. But those who are immortal, those who are resurrected, have no more sin nature. They neither put on weight when they eat. They have the best of all worlds. But we will rule and reign. Does that answer the question? Yeah. Now he's bound. Right. So he's bound. He's set away. You have a perfect environment. And yet, does mankind sin? What would all these verses tell you? If you need a rod of iron, why would you need a rod of iron? Why do you need to rule with omnipotence and omniscience? Because there's sin. Sin will be in the millennium. It will be unbelievable that people who are living in the presence of Jesus Christ, but you know they lived in His presence when He was here the first time too, didn't He? Rich, you had a question. You're going to ask? Okay. All right. So are we clear? Tom? I don't think so. In fact, in eternity, it tells us that there is no night or day. It's all day. Because we don't need any sleep. That's kind of hard to imagine, isn't it? I like sleep, personally. In fact, the highlight of my week is my Sunday nap. And I'm not going to get my nap anymore. Somebody else had a hand up. No, we're going to eat, Patty. Don't be taking cheeseburgers, fries, Mexican food. Thank you. Absolutely. Huh? Boudreaux will be there. Yeah, thanks, Robin. Yeah, Jimmy. Yeah. Jimmy said Adam did not have a sin nature until Eve came along. Well, she did sin first. What, Clarissa? Oh, Eve was taken out of Adam. Yeah, but he was sinless at that point. Adam and Eve actually blew it for all of us. That's right. Takes two, yeah. Yeah, fortunately, the Scripture says that you women get off a little bit. It says you were deceived. Adam was not. He did it deliberately. He listened to his wife. That's a number one rule. Yes, Brother. In the eternal kingdom, there will be no night or day. Well, I don't know that. 24 hours, 24 hours, 24 hours, yeah. I don't know, because it looks like in Revelation that the sun is darkened. And I don't know if it goes out and he has to recreate. I don't know what happens there. I do know emphatically that in the new eternal kingdom, some of you are visitors, so let me make sure we're clear here. There's coming a time when Jesus is going to set up a kingdom that lasts 1,000 years. When that kingdom is over, which is the next lesson to come, when that kingdom is over, he's going to establish an eternal kingdom. And it is vastly different than the one I'm describing to you today. In other words, because there is no sun or moon, there is no temple, there is no day or night. It says the Lamb is the light thereof. You know, Jesus claimed to be the light of the world, remember? And in Revelation 21, it says that basically he is the one that illuminates the entire universe. So I assume you're going to have some sunglasses. What's the role of the Holy Spirit? It's very active, and we'll show that in a minute. That's one of my points. Okay, he will be very active during this period of time. In fact, it says men will dream dreams and young men will have visions and that kind of thing. Okay, now he's going to bring about something the world has not ever experienced. Peace. The scripture says in Isaiah 2, and they will hammer their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nation will not lift up a sword against nation, and never again will they learn war. If you're omnipotent, and I'm not, and you aren't either, and if you're omniscient, you can stop war. And he does. And he's basically saying that the earth and the nations in the earth are going to literally give away their military weapons. Could you imagine somebody bringing up a bill in the U.S. Congress? Let's get rid of all our weapons. All our tanks, all our APCs, all our airplanes, all our battleships. We don't need any of that. First of all, we'd save $700 billion a year right there. Did you know that? But what happens if the whole world does that at one time? And they take the armaments and they beat them into things for productivity and not war. Isn't that amazing? I mean, it's like you can't comprehend this. Isaiah 9, I love this. It's one of my favorite passages. For a child will be born to us, a son will be given to us. And who is that? Jesus. And the government will rest on his shoulders. Notice between us and is a long period of time, isn't it? Over 2,000 years, almost 2,000 years between that. That's something you have to be careful of in prophecy, because it says a son will be given to us and then the government resting on his shoulders won't be till the millennium. And it says, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. It's beyond me as to how people can say that Jesus Christ is not God. That passage right there identifies Jesus Christ with who? The Eternal Father, the Mighty God, and the Prince of Peace. There will be no increase to no end to the increase of his government or of what? Peace. Now, many of you probably don't remember. I do. Some of you do. Remember the Cold War. And back in the 60s, 50s, 60s, and 70s, we were all afraid. And I'm sure some of you had drills where you climbed under your desk, which was going to help stop that nuclear bomb. Right? You remember those? And people were building and buying bomb shelters. You won't have to worry about that kind of stuff. In fact, it's probably going to make a resurgence here if Iran gets the nuclear war weapon, and I assume they already have it. All right? There'll be full knowledge of the Lord on the earth. Now, this is incredible. Right now, you have to persuade people to seek out and to read the Word of God and to understand Jesus Christ, and some do and many don't, even Christians. Isaiah 11 says, they will not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. In other words, the knowledge of the Lord will be over everyone. Watch this one. Jeremiah. They will not teach again each man his neighbor and each man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they will all know me. From the least of them to the oldest, greatest of them, declares the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sin I will remember no more. In other words, They won't even need me. They won't need a teacher. They're all going to know Him intimately. Isn't that amazing? Huh? They still deny Him. The unbelievers, for sure. This one is kind of interesting. I don't know how to describe this one. I don't know if He's going to remove the second law of thermodynamics or the curse which was given on Adam and Eve back in the Genesis when they sinned. But there's going to be something different about this kingdom. And here's what it is. And the wolf will dwell with the lamb. Would you find that unusual? If the wolf dwells with the lamb today, what happens? Dinner. Right? And it ain't the lamb. Lamb's too stupid. But the wolf eats the lamb. And it says, and the leopard will lie down with the young goat. Supper. And the calf and the young lion and the fatling together, and a little boy will eat them. Now, can you imagine that in the kingdom? Here's this little boy leading this leopard along, or this bear, or cow, or something like that. Now, cow, I can understand. You can do that now, as long as it's not a bull. And it says the cow and the bear will graze. What's unusual about that? Cows graze, bears what? They like meat. They like meat. Their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. Is that unusual? Lions don't eat straw. They eat what? Meat. And the nursing child will play by the hole of the cobra. Amazing, huh? I don't like snakes. And the weaned child will put his hand on the viper's den. How could that be? Before the flood, did you know that animals did not eat meat? It was not until after the flood. And humans didn't eat eat meat. Huh? No, I think it was before the flood. Check it out, Dom. I can't be dogmatic about that. How long did the fall take? For a few days, huh? Well, and Adam was 130 years old and became the father of Seth. You remember? So what does that tell us? It had to be in the first 130 years of his creation. Okay? Well, that was probably after Cain and Abel. Seth was just the one in the lineage. Yes, Patty. Mm-hmm. Is there something biblically that makes me say that? Well, I know one. Well, let me say this. I know that the human beings did not eat meat prior to the flood. Okay. Hmm. Dagmar, you're going to save me. All right, to make a covering, a sacrifice for them. Yeah, she says that there was no shed blood until after the sin and they came out of the garden. Say that what, Patty? Klubnik's not here. Okay. I'll take that as fact. All right. Forgive me. All right. Let me go on. I'm not going to win this, and I apparently misspoke. But I can always count on y'all to straighten me out, which is fine. I've been straightened out more than once by better people than you. Anyway, that's a joke. But I'm going to go look it up. Thank you. So Chuck was what? Right. There we go. I know I'm right about that, that the approval to eat meat after the flood was given to them in Genesis probably about 8 or 9. Right. Thank you. Thank you, Patty. And I may have to recant on animals eating meat. But I don't know I'm wrong yet. Genesis 1, what? So why don't you read it? I give every green plant to everything that breathes. For food. Thank you. I thought that's what I said. They weren't. Oh, okay. You're saying they were created that way. But we don't know if they did it. Maybe every once in a while, they ate a lamb on the sly, right? Y'all have a strange method of Bible interpretation, I'm telling you. Teresa, y'all are wanting to go next week for the last week on 26, aren't you? Yeah, Teresa. And I said it was when? After the flood. I'll stick with that. Yeah, Pralank. He prepared Noah. They didn't on the ark. They didn't eat what? Each other. What did he put on the ark? We put grain and grass, I bet. I'm going to stick with my original point. Maybe I was right. I'll look it up some more. All right. But look at this. Wait a minute, people. Before we finish this point, what's unusual about this? They are not what? They're not afraid. I go with that. What else? They're not eating what? Each other. If it reverts back, and by the way, prophetically in the scriptures, we go from the Garden of Eden to sin back to the Garden of Eden. If this truly is back in this time in the Garden of Eden, they're not what? Eating each other. I think my point was probably right, but I'll think about it. All right. I don't have to be right. Most of the time. Long life will be restored as the beginning of creation. Now this is interesting. Look what it says. As Isaiah 65:20. No longer will there be in it an infant who lives but a few days. Or an old man who does not live out his days. For the youth will die at the age of 100, and the one who does not reach the age of 100 will be thought accursed. Now, how is that different from today? 100 is an exception, is it not? Now, they're going to say during the kingdom that if you're 100 years old and you die, say, oh, poor baby, he must have really been a sinner. Right? God must have accursed him. So what does that tell you? Something is going to happen when Jesus returns, that he's going to remake the earth. Very specifically, he may make it like it was prior to the flood. Was it different prior to the flood? Absolutely. In fact, one of the key elements of the naysayers, and particularly evolution, one of the things that disproves evolution is that the flood came and changed everything about the earth. What did it change? It changed the climate. Let me just give you a very brief description of prior to the flood. Prior to the flood, it is believed. Now, it is believed. That means opinion by scientists that there was a vapor canopy around the earth completely, and that literally there was water in that vapor canopy that went miles out into space. And when it talks about the flood bringing about a rain of 40 days and 40 nights, there is no cloud system today that could produce that kind of rain. Did you know that? The reason is we had at vapor canopy, it says the fountains of the deep, the windows of heaven opened, you remember, and allowed this water to fall, and the fountains of the deep exploded, literally, so that water was as high as Mount Ararat is today. But the impact of having that vapor canopy around the earth created what we call an increased barometric pressure. And it's been proven. Where's my astronaut? It's been proven in a barometric chamber that people heal much faster when they are put into a system of increased pressure. It's also believed that because of that, there were no storms. There was no strong winds. There was no hurricanes or tornadoes or tsunamis and all of that, that the environment on the earth. Plus, the reason they think people may have lived longer was all that water filtered out the harmful rays coming from space on this planet. And the reason that lives decreased, and you can literally see the difference in reading the Bible, that before the flood, man lived to be how old? 800-900 years old. Adam was 930. Methuselah is 969. The shortest life in the Bible was Enoch, 365. And that says because God took him. Literally, supernaturally raptured him out of here. But the reality is that there was a completely different environment. I thought Dr. Carl Bowe up at Ball, up at... tell it again, Boyd. Glenn Rose had a program on a series of what it was like on the earth. And he said that when you had this vapor canopy, and I don't know how he came up with this, he said there was a pinkish hue within the in the environment. Have you heard of the comment that looking through rose-colored glasses? He says that that impact, listen to me closely, created a peaceful atmosphere upon the earth in which the animals didn't eat one another. He didn't say that. I just threw that in. But they were so at calm and so peaceful that the world was a different place altogether. And when the vapor canopy was destroyed and the water came down on the earth and blew up from the bottom of the oceans and under the ground, that it created the cataclysmic type of environment we have today. And it looks like that Jesus is going to reverse that. And now I want you to think about, and we're going to conclude here today, but I want you to think about people who live to be 500, 600, 700, 800 years old, still have their vigor, and they're still having children. This is my 83rd child. Huh? You poor women. Maybe it'll take the pain of childbirth away, huh? It's going to be an amazing time, isn't it? I can't wait. See you next week.